he comments on how he dealt with his great rival. Who was his biggest rival? Winston Churchill was his greatest rival. And they met only once in 1906 when Gandhi left South Africa to go to England to fight for the rights of the Indians in South Africa. Churchill then was in the Liberal Party. He was the Undersecretary or Assistant Secretary for the Colonies. Gandhi and Churchill had a fairly good meeting. After that, when Gandhi became more determined to fight for Indian, not only Indian rights in South Africa, but India's independence, Churchill didn't like it. And the Great Salt March infuriated Churchill. And the fact that the Viceroy invited Gandhi to talk with him, and that's when Churchill made this statement that many Indians know, that something like, it is alarming and also nauseating to find this half-naked man walking up the steps of the Viceroy's palace to parley on equal terms with the representative of the king. Well, some months after that, Gandhi went not only to parley with the Viceroy, but to talk with the King of England and with the cabinet ministers in London. He was there for talks. And he asked to meet Churchill, but Churchill said, no, I'm not. And then Churchill was unhappy at the idea of India's independence. He was very happy with the idea of India's partition. And he opposed the independence very, very strongly. And then when Hindu-Muslim killings took place, Churchill felt that he had been absolutely vindicated. And in September of 47, a month and 12 days after India became independent, this is what Churchill said by this time, you know, August, September 47 is the month that saw the worst killing, both in India and Pakistan, has also been created both in India and in Pakistan. And you know, by some kind of incredible parity, divine parity, devilish parity, almost the same number of Muslims and non-Muslims were killed at that time. But this is what Churchill said, 27 September 1947, speaking in London. The fearful massacres which are occurring in India are no surprise to me. We are, of course, only at the beginning of these horrors and butcheries perpetrated upon one another with the ferocity of cannibals by the races gifted with capacities for the highest culture and who had for generations dwelt side by side in general peace under the broad, tolerant, and impartial rule of the British Crown. I cannot but doubt that the future will witness a vast abridgment of the subcontinent's population, one of Churchill's predictions that went on. Future will witness a vast abridgment of the subcontinent's population. To these formidable phrases from his old foe, Gandhi offered an immediate but also impressive response. The first thing Gandhi does is he translates Churchill's remarks to his prayer audience, and by now you might say, as you know, to a very large audience in India. He wants them to know what Churchill has said. After translating Churchill's sentences for his prayer meeting audience, he called the former premier a great man, acknowledged that there was no doubt that Churchill, who took, these are his words, who took the helm when Great Britain was in great danger, had saved the British Empire in World War II. And he admitted that a few hundred thousand in India had indeed taken to the path of barbarism. At the same time, he took Churchill to task for describing the killings in India with, as Gandhi put it, such relish and gross exaggeration. And he asked Churchill to take the trouble of thinking about Britain's responsibility in the tragedy. Though not referring to Churchill's personal wish for India's partition, Gandhi added that by dividing India before quitting, Britain had unwittingly invited the two parts of the country to fight each other. A step, quote, the future may or may not justify, unquote. He concluded by saying to his people, many of you have given grounds to Mr. Churchill for making such remarks. You still have sufficient time to prove Mr. Churchill's prediction wrong.